Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A new museum opened last month, transforming a location of historic horrors into hallowed ground. The International African American Museum in Charleston, South Carolina, rises up now at the site of the Old Port, where many of the people enslaved in this country's history arrived from Africa, sold into bondage. Civic leaders, artists, elected officials have been contributing over the past two decades to develop the project in this museum, and the president of the International African American Museum is with us now. Tanya Matthews, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. First of all, the site is itself drenched in the tragic history of slavery, Gadsden's Wharf.
Gadsden's Wharf is the former site of one of our nation's most prolific transatlantic slave trading ports. And by prolific, we mean historians will estimate somewhere between 40 and 50% of enslaved Africans who came to what is now the United States would have entered into this port, this wharf complex. It was a major point of commerce, just generally commerce. It was the largest in North America at its time. Mm. And a big part of that commerce for a significant period of its history were enslaved people.
And on that site, the structure itself hovers above the ground. It stands on pillars. Why that design choice?
You know, so when our primary architect, Henry Cobb, began learning about this project that he was supposed to design, he began to take on our own language of hallowed ground. And then learning about the space and the stories the museum would tell, he decided that his challenge was to design a building for which the ground it stood upon would always be more important than the building itself. It's very unusual for an architect. Out of that, he decided that therefore the museum would not touch the ground. And that's actually why he raised the design up on these pillars. Once we even raise the building, then you have our exterior, which is in constant conversation with the water. You can literally see the entrance to the Atlantic Ocean from our site.
And down kind of at or near the water level, the tide will ebb and flow over what's called the tide tribute of the museum. These are images of human figures. Tell us about that.
One of the things I'm particularly excited about is this outside space. And the tide tribute pool, which is one of the elements designed by Walter Hood, our landscape architect. It's a large, large pool, and there's an art installation on the bottom. And the art installation is inspired by the Brooks diagrams. These are the diagrams popularized that show how the Africans were packed into the bottom of the slave ships. The figures are a little amorphous, so you'll also get the sense of the ebb and flow of water. And some folks will say that on the edges, as the figures and the waters merge, it seems to remind you of the way the sea islands come into our coastline here in the low country. And the pool is powered by a pumping system that raises and lowers the water with the tide. And even for me personally, it's a place with all of the emotions. You know, as the waters are going down, there are days I'm reminded of those that we lost. But as the waters are coming up, there are days that I'm reminded of those who did ultimately rise up out of that space to give rise to everything we're trying to do today.
And I want to ask about the quotation at or near the entrance to the structure of British traveler John Lambert, who visited that part of Charleston in 1807, and he wrote, among other things, upwards of 700 people died in less than three months. He saw the slave trade. He saw what I gather was when the importation of humans was about to end, there was what seemed to be hoarding of slaves to increase their price, their value. What did he see?
Yeah, so this is one of the spots where we can sort of gently kind of lead people into a reminder and an understanding that at this period in our history, we were not transporting people. We were importing livestock. And those are the kinds of rules that applied, right? You were about to look at a market being shut down, a hot commodity. The prices were going to be going up. And sometimes when you know that's going to happen, you will hold your stock waiting for the price to go up. And in that particular winter season, an unseasonably cold winter came through. And because of that, men, women, children perished simply waiting for their price to go up. And so on our site is a storage house, and we found the architectural remnants, and we know that we had one of the many storage houses and places of storing the enslaved people waiting for their price to go up.
The website of your museum describes it as a place to be explored, interrogated, and honored. And yet we know today the history of African Americans, the African diaspora, is under attack in a lot of school districts in this country. Do you feel you and these essential stories of history are themselves swimming against the tide?
I think that's a really good and provocative question for us. You know, are we swimming against the tide? I might dare to say that we are the tide. I work for museums, you know, lifelong learning institutions. So I place a high value and a lot of belief in human curiosity. We cannot hold it back. You cannot resist a good story. I think for the elements that are trying to move against that tide, there is some, I think, understandable fear of the unknown. And we've done a lot of work thinking about how we welcome folks from various backgrounds and experiences and relative levels of knowledge, right? Because we've chosen to represent the stories in their full context, it opens a lot of doorways and a lot of pathways to enter. It's not always trauma, and it's not whitewashed to give you a false sense of joy. It's this African-American ethic of trauma and joy constantly interwoven simultaneously inside of every story that we tell.
So a visitor to your museum can see, among other things, the Center for Family History, where African-American family histories have long been buried, but there are resources. People can look up their genealogy, I gather, with the help of experts.
It was thought that African-Americans couldn't go back very far because of the record keeping, because of the family separation, because of slavery itself. And what we're finding is that you can. We're going to have to get creative. It takes a little bit more time and a little more digging. But folks are really excited. And like I said, it's the middle of the story. Folks are excited about getting beyond and before that period as our resources have begun to allow.
And finally, can I ask you about the city of Charleston? I live in the Mid-Atlantic, not too far away. I mean, a lot of people go there for a place known for its tourism, the genteel South, that to critics can gloss over, maybe airbrush its historical warts. What do you want residents of the city to ask themselves as they visit?
I think, you know, the brand of Charleston is history. This is where you come to find history and storytelling. And we've definitely had a reputation, I think, in the South, in the Deep South, for telling portions of the history. But I think what we've learned is that this curiosity is driving a whole other set of questions that folks want to have answered, and they want to be seen. And there's something about telling this history to tell the history. It's not about judgment. It's not about pointing. It's about what is. It's about foundations. And I get the question a lot. So how's Charleston doing with the museum? Charleston is embracing the museum. And I think because the one thing I can say about the people of Charleston is we've always known our story. And there is actually an incredible release in finally being able to share the rest of it.
We've been talking about the International African American Museum, sometimes called IAM, with Tanya Matthews, president, and it has just opened in Charleston, South Carolina. Tanya Matthews, great pleasure. Congratulations on the opening. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.